Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We pray you forgive our sins. You cleanse us so that as we worship, Lord, there'd be nothing we're hiding behind, but rather we'd be open to you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven. Let me be as good Father, we thank you for Jesus, the only way we can be holy, the only way we can be clean is through what Jesus did. Lord, we thank you so much. We pray that you take these songs and you put them in a box, Lord, that they would bless you later. We bless you, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share something with you. I wasn't going to, but I am now. All of these songs were written by a certain worship leader from my youth, kind of, 35-ish I was. And Brian Dorkson, I don't know if you guys know him. He's a big-time songwriter. He does wonderful songs. He's got cancer. So I did these songs not as a tribute to Brian, but that we would put Brian before the Lord. So if you think about it, pray for him. It's not good, but our God is. So, amen. Thank you.
Well, welcome to Calvary Chapel, where we point you to Jesus no matter what. So even in Brian's trials, his songs point you to Jesus. Do you know that refiring fire for gold? Do you know how you know it's done and it's ready? You see your reflection in it. So God is refining us so that he sees Jesus reflecting off of us. That's what we want our heart to be like. That's what we want our life to be like, that we reflect Jesus in all that we do. So remember that. So that refiring fire is to refine us so that we reflect Jesus. So remember that. Remember that. So look, I'd like you to welcome you. I've been gone for a week, and it seems like we have a lot of visitors. So in front of you, in the seat in front of you, there's a visitor card. If you fill that out and take it to the cafe after church, they'll give you a free coffee or drink or whatever you want that they have. They will give it to you for free. And it's just our way of saying thank you for coming. So if you didn't get it last week and you were new last week, you can still fill it out. It's fine. Or if you've been here for a long time and you haven't filled one out, go back there, fill one out, and take it in and get your free cup of coffee or juice, okay? All right, and we just want to say welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Okay, so right now, let's have our offerings, our tithes and our offerings that we can give to the Lord. So let's pray for that. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are in control, that you know what is going on in our lives. We thank you that you know what is going on in the world. There's been fires, there's been floods, there's been all kinds of things going on, but we know that you are in control, that you have not just our back, you have our front, and you have our sides, Lord. We know that you are here for us. So, Lord, I pray that with these tithes that we can give back to you a portion, because we can't give everything that you deserve, because you deserve it all. But Lord, we pray that this 10% that we can give back to you, that you would take it and that you would multiply it and that you would use it for good. That Calvary Chapel would use that money that you've stowed on them for good. To reach others, Lord. To reach the lost for you. So Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, that we would worship you with our tithes and our offerings, and it would be a joyful time. So Lord, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, right? God is good all the time. I've been away for a week. It seems like I've been away for a long time. You guys are my family. And it just seems like I've been gone away for a long time. But I thank you for all the prayers that were given to me, because that administration school is tough. They put a lot on you in a short amount of week. But we have a lot of good information. So pray for our school. And that brings us up to praying and fasting, okay? So number one, ask God to show you someone who needs God's grace. Well, that's all of us, right? We all need God's grace. But pray and ask God to show you someone, right? Pray and ask him, and then bring him to church, okay? Number two, kind of goes on the same thing. Pray that the Lord would show you who needs grace, which that is everybody. We all need grace. So I pray that the Lord would show you somebody this week that needs God's peace and joy in their life. And that starts with grace, right? So you have to know Jesus to get that peace and joy through him. So pray for them and pray that you could bring them to church. Because this is where we point you to Jesus. This is where we help you learn more about Jesus and who he is. This is where we can encourage you to be in the Word every day. God's Word. So this is where we encourage you, okay? And with that, let's run our announcements.
Morning, dear saints. Good morning, dear saints.
Good morning.
Okay, now stay awake. We have the privilege of serving children here in the valley that do not have the privileges that many of us do. On August 1st, at 2 in the afternoon, we are going to meet down at Skechers, and we're going to serve those kids. We will be able to allow them to come in, and they will be escorted around Skechers so that they can pick out their own shoes. That's an important thing for a little kid, because lots of times they get the shoes that mommy, daddy want. But they may want a different kind of shoe. So they're going to do that. And with that in mind, if you would like to participate in that, Devin's going to take this and bring it and just sign up and then take it all the way through. Then he's going to bring it up and then he's going to take it over. That way we don't have three different ones. So please remember that that is a sign up. Your husbands aren't here, sign them up and see if they agree, or your wives, see if they'll come. It's just a special time to serve those kids. They get a free cupcake even, and then an icy afterwards, and you guys can actually walk over to Starbucks and get yourself a Frappuccino. Have you ever heard of a coffee Frappuccino? Just a coffee one. No flavor, just a coffee Frappuccino. 300 calories, not bad, when those other ones are like 800 or 1,000. So I'm not getting a commission, but I enjoy them. I do have a prayer request that just happened this morning. And most of you know our office manager, Steve, and his wife, and they usually come in with Jimmy, and they walk, and Jimmy's his brother. He's disabled, and they come and sit in this front row. Well, they went up and picked Jimmy up at camp for special needs people, and then last night when he went to bed, then I don't know what time of the night, or if it happened early this morning, he fell out of bed and hit his head. So they rushed him to the hospital, and we don't know the results yet for Jimmy, so let's stop for just a moment and lift Jimmy up. Father, we want to come to you, and we want to lift up our dear Jimmy. He's such a dear brother, such a wonderful, wonderful guy. He notices things that other people never notice. And Father, I just pray that you would just bring healing to his body, to his head, his neck, and that there would be nothing wrong but a bump on the head. And if there's anything else, you'd give those doctors wisdom and give Steve peace, and then Elena, complete and total peace on Steve's brother, Jimmy. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask that you would bless now the word of God. As we sit at your banqueting table, we want to just partake of the goodness of your word. So prepare our hearts and our minds. May we not be distracted by the things we have to do at work tomorrow, but may we be focused on the work you want to do in our lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're turning your Bibles to chapter 14, if you don't have a Bible and you'd like to join in with the Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will get you a Bible. Just leave them up there so that you'll be able to get a Bible. And then turn to chapter 14 of the book of Romans as we're going through this wonderful, wonderful epistle that Paul wrote to the Roman church. The title of my message is kind of weird in and of itself. What type of ship are you? So what type of ship do you think you are? An LST. An LST is a slow-moving target for abbreviation. We're going to find out in the Word of God on what type of ship we ought to be. We left off in verse 14, and if I could set the stage a little bit, there in Rome, there were Jews that had converted to Christianity. Now, some of those Jews were told that they had to follow the law, and then they could become a Christian. And other ones realized the freedom and the liberty they had through the grace of God. For by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there were people that would go to the market, Christians, and there was two types of markets. Markets that sold meat that possibly was offered to idols, and those that were kosher meats that were not offered to idols. Some of the Christians there, being young in their faith, they actually thought that it was wrong that Christians should eat meat sacrificed to idols. And so the question was raised to Paul, and that was, can a Christian eat meat that was sacrificed to idols? And so Paul's addressing it. I love the very first part of verse 14 here in 8. It says that I know and I am convinced. I like the King James Version. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Unclean would be something that is not kosher. This had to be a major change in, if you would, the Pharisee of Paul, because Paul had been going to Gamaliel's college. He was one of the greatest students he ever had. He said the only problem that he had with Paul, well, his name was Saul, was that he couldn't keep enough parchments, books, in front of him. He would just devour them. He loved God's word. He just devoured them. And so he was sold out to the law, so much so that he was persecuting the church, throwing them in jail, having some of them killed, having them beaten. And he got some permission from the high priest to go over to Damascus, and he was going to do the same thing there. But the Lord smote him, and he fell on the ground. And Paul says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. It's harder for you to kick against me, isn't it? He was blinded for 3 days. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, Ananias, I want you to go over to where the Pharisee Paul is at. And I want you to pray for him. I can only imagine Ananias' mind. What? He's killing people who are Christians. You want me to go pray for him? I like my head where it's at. He goes, no, I am showing him all the things that he has had to suffer for my name's sake. He went there, laid hands on him. First thing he said to him is, Brother Paul. It was Saul. Actually, his name wasn't turned into Paul until he started ministering to the Greeks. But he called him brother. And you know, we call anybody brother now. Hey, brother. Hey, bro. How you doing? Back then, it was meaning something, a special, special meaning. It meant we were brothers in Christ. And that was a very special meeting. And it had that tone of Christianity to it and the love of Christ to it. And it was so wonderful. And now, Paul gets saved. As soon as Ananias prayed for him, the scales dropped off his eyes. And he began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. So from being the Pharisee Paul to being Paul, who had accepted Christianity's liberty, he went from the law to the saving by grace of God and the blessings that he had to be able to say, I'm saved by grace, like he told the Ephesians. I can only imagine Paul invited over to somebody's house that has liberty. And they say, Paul, here's a ham sandwich. You've never tasted anything like it, especially if you put mustard on it, yellow mustard on it. Oh, it is so good. Unleavened bread, ham sandwich, mustard. And Paul must have had a tinge in his heart. Can I? Should I? Oh, yeah. I'm saved by grace. And he starts eating that first ham sandwich he ever had. But I want you to notice he was able to do it for one reason and one reason only. And it's because he realized that the Lord had set him free. Paul is saying, because you have given me this liberty, I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that I can. And yet, at the same time, as Paul began to go around and share the gospel and people would accept the Lord, he realized that there were some that held to the place that was still holding a little bit to the law. And he knew also that some of them looked at meat offered to idols as unclean. And yet Paul just right now says, there's nothing unclean. We know that also later on in the scripture where it says, you can receive anything if you pray for it. Boy, for you guys that don't pray over your food, I wonder what's happening in your stomach that day. But it says that it's prayed for with thanksgiving. Now, I don't know if I'd want to eat Taco Bell tacos right now. Think I might hold off on those. For those that will listen to this later on, they found out that the lettuce has this germ in it that came up from Mexico, and a lot of people are having stomach aches and flus and not feeling well at all, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I ate their lesson, and you're all of a sudden your stomach's starting to hurt you. No, that's not who he's talking about. He's talking about a piece of meat, and he knew that some would still hold to it to be unclean. And so Paul now addresses that issue. He addresses it, and he actually exhorts those who have the liberty and how they should act around those that don't have that liberty. We see that in verses 15 and 16. It says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Paul is saying here that you have that liberty, but I want you to think of others. And you're going to hear that throughout the theme of the rest of this section of Scripture. And Paul's going to put it in many different ways. He's going to say, don't cause them to stumble, because Christ died for them just like he died for you, and he loves them just like he loves you. So if Jesus died, and here's a question for you. If Jesus died for your sins, and he loves you. Didn't he die for the other people's sins and loves them? They just may not be down on the path of liberty as far as you might be. And Paul is saying, why don't we die a little bit to ourselves, that we would slow down and not be thinking of us and our liberty, but be thinking of them. So I mentioned to you what type of ship you are. In World War II, there were these things called convoys. They would take supplies from England over to the mainland. And yet the U-boats that the Germans had, submarines, were shooting the heck out of them. So they developed a strategic plan on how to protect the convoys. There were big, giant ships out there, and there were very little ones. There were ships that could go fast, but there were some ships that could only go slow. So what they would determine is what the slowest ship was in the convoy. And all the ships, including the military protecting ships, they'd be all the way from a DE destroyer escort to a DD, a destroyer, to a cruiser, all these different ships, what they would do is they would all slow down to the speed of the slowest one, and then they would go together in one group. And the submarines couldn't penetrate that very well, because around the convoy were all these battleships, or ships that are made for battle. Not a battleship, but ships made for battle, that would go right after the submarine as soon as it was noticed, attack it and sink it. And they begin to lose their superiority in the ocean because of the concept that the faster ships, including the battleships, the ships that battle, would slow down. And I think Paul is saying to us, for those that don't have the strengths and the liberties that we have, maybe we need to slow down a little bit and not try to push our liberties onto them and let God be the Holy Spirit. Now, in the last two messages, I've really emphasized the point, and I need to do it again here, is that Paul is talking about non-essentials of the faith. There are essentials that deal with salvation, and then there's non-essentials that deal with our walk. And that's what he's addressing right there. But there are other things that we need to be looking at besides just meat that we need to concern ourselves with. We see that in verse 17, where it says this: "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is just living a right life in God's word and following after God and his love. And so it's important that when we're living that type of a life, that what's taking place is that we are actually fulfilling Revelation 4:11, that we are bringing God pleasure because we're thinking of others more than ourselves, because sometimes we think of ourselves more than others and we really don't understand the damage that we could do to those people. The other thing that it says to seek after is peace. Let me take a very short couple minutes to explain what peace is. Basically, there are two types of pieces in the Word of God. There's the peace with God that we find in Romans chapter 5. That God has done the work, and all we have to do is accept His grace. And then when that happens, excuse me, we are now saved by grace, and we are at peace with God. In other words, the battle's over, we've surrendered, and we've given our lives to Christ. That's the peace of God, or the peace with God, excuse me. The peace of God is this, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. And what it talks about there, it says, be anxious, don't worry about anything, but through supplication, and that word prayer before supplication, we are to pray. And that word pray is a form of worshiping God. You know, Jesus said, you know, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, what's the next word? Hallowed be thy name, holy. So God wants us in our prayer time to address the Father, not the big guy upstairs, not the boss upstairs, but our Heavenly Father, because you develop a relationship in doing it that way. And then, holy be your name. Worship Him about what and who He is. And that's what He's saying here. Don't be worried about anything, but through prayer, worshiping God, in your vocabulary, telling Him how great He is in creation. He knows that. He just wants you to remember it. And then He says, supplication. These are the details of the things that you're going through in your life. And so those details are called supplication. And then there's something that too many Christians forget. With thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for all things. Well, not all things are good. No, but all things work together for the good. And we need to know that when we're going through a tough time. All things work together for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. And then it says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's the living relationship peace. We're justified, and there's a lot of Christians who have been justified but seldom feel the peace of God simply because they're not following after what God has laid out in His Word and how we should do that. And then the next thing that we lay out for us, or He lays out for us, I should say, is joy. This is what we're supposed to seek after. And actually, the Word of God tells us that it's by joy that's where we get our strength. Now, in Nehemiah, you can turn there in chapter 8, it tells us that after the work was done in rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah called everyone together, and they begin to read the Word of God, and they hadn't heard it in such a long time that they begin to bow their heads and weep and cry, and they were sad. And then Nehemiah said this, in verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those whom nothing is prepared for. This day is holy to our God, our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So how do we get joy? by pursuing righteousness and peace. You want joy in your life? Just pursue righteousness. Live a good life in Christ. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Lay out to God worship and your supplications, and always remember thanksgiving. You're going to end up with the joy of the Lord being your God. And what a blessing that is. When we see that, verse 18, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. That's an interesting concept. All people, I should say almost all people, there's some people that could care less what you think or what other people think. All people want to be accepted. If you want to be accepted by God and man, then you have to have that heart to serve and to love God and seek after righteousness, peace, and joy. And one of the ways that Paul is telling us on how we can seek after righteousness, peace, and joy is by putting others first above our liberty. Paul exhorts him once again in verse 19. He says this, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. So all that to say is this, we are to follow after peace. Don't be arguing with the weaker brother. Accept him and love him. You know, Paul gives us a good rule of thumb on how to live around the weaker brothers. Do things, even your liberties, in such a way that is going to edify people. The word edify simply means to build them up. And that's a good rule of thumb, to build those up. Let me give you an example of this. Let's take a look at drinking for a moment. And say you had the liberty to drink a little bit. Now notice what I said. You had the liberty to drink a little bit. Not a little bit, a little bit. But you have that liberty. Drinking around some people will not be edifying or building them up. Stop and think about this. Maybe in their past, they have had a problem with drinking. And yet they end up looking at you. Maybe they're even looking up to you as somebody that they think is, you know, right on. And then you have a drink around them. That could very much cause them to stumble. And that's why Marcy and I'm not saying this for you to do it. You have to decide between you and God. But Marcy and I have chosen, we do not want to stumble anybody over alcohol, so therefore we will not drink alcohol. And I told you the last time we ever had alcohol together was when we were in Romania, and there was homemade wine for communion, and it was like homemade, it was strong. It wasn't like a little bit higher than Kool-Aid. It had the color of Kool-Aid and the rest was straight alcohol. And I saw the guy popping the bottle and I saw that's homemade hooch. And then communion came around in this conference we were at, and I just said, Lord, I'd never serve this and stumble somebody in my church, but I'm in their church. I did not get a chance to tell Marcy. So I took that little teeny cup and I went, whew. And then I looked at Marcy and she took it and she went, And she told me later, it burned all the way down. Well, we were in their presence. But if I came from Romania and had that liberty and sat in this and say it's time for communion and I pull out my home bottle of hooch, you think that wouldn't stumble people here? It would certainly stumble them. I'll never forget it. I still have it burned into my mind where this lovely couple was in Sunday school teaching, and then we went to a restaurant, and when we were there, they were already there, and they both had the big glasses of beer, and I just thought, if I was a little kid and I saw that, that would be a signal for me that it's okay to drink. And yet I knew what drinking could do to a family, for my dad was an alcoholic. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could have been too. Now, I'm fortunate my dad quit 10 years before he died. But I didn't quit, and I was heading down that road. And then I got saved on May 12th, 1975. And we were helping move. We called them our little sisters because we protected them, my roommate and I. And so we went to move them from one place to another, and I needed some gas, and there was a little gas mart right there. And I just said to one of them, one of the little sisters, I said, I feel like a beer. And so she goes, well, you can go there and get one. But she told me later on, and see, it went over to where we were barbecuing, and I popped that beer, and I took a swallow of it, and it just didn't taste right. So I went and I dumped it out, and she saw that, and she came to me. She goes, when you told me that you were going to get a beer, I had put you up on a pedestal, which you don't do. I had put you up on a pedestal. But when I heard you wanted to buy a beer, you fell off that pedestal. But then when I saw you pouring it down the sink, you're back on it now. And I realized I could have stumbled her big time. And that would have been horrible that I would have to live thinking that I stumbled that person just for my liberty. Was it a sin to drink? No, this is non-essential. Oh, drunkenness is a sin. But what we need to do here is we need to think of others more than ourselves. What's a perfect scenario? Even if I didn't want a beer at that time and I had peace if I could, I would never do it in front of her or people like that. But that doesn't mean that if you have, you know, if you have the liberty, you think it's okay for you to have a beer, I better not see you in a restaurant dropping your napkin and going under your table to take a swallow. I wouldn't look at your house, but I wouldn't expect you to crawl under your bed to hide it, right? But I remember my dad looking into the, I'm looking into the garage and see my dad. He went into the pantry. And in the pantry, he just pulled out this whiskey bottle and just drank it straight and stuck it back in there. So to me, that was normal. He'd come to my games, but I didn't know that if he'd be drinking or not drinking. And it was embarrassing to me. And stop and think about that. Is it edifying to do that? You know, is it going to leave an effect upon somebody in a negative way? Whatever the liberty is now, is it going to leave a negative effect in them towards Christ? Then is it worth it? Is it worth it at all to take any of those liberties and stumble people with them? Paul is going to say it again. And why is he going to say it again? I think he's going to say it again so it will sink into our heads. In verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. If they know that they don't have liberty, because if a person has battled alcohol or drugs or pornography, which is something no one should be watching, is it legal for them to have drugs in the house? Is it legal for, in the eyes of God, to have alcohol in the house? I'm not talking about a little bit of wine that you cook with. I'm talking about what you hooch with. And there's a big difference. And Paul, again, I'm emphasizing what he's doing is he's pointing out the non-essentials found in verse 21, and there's some more that are found that we would say are non-essentials in verse 21. It says, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. I think Paul is just saying, don't do it. Just stop it. Think more about them. Paul goes on, and in the last two verses, listen to what he says about it. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. So you can't fake yourself out and say, yeah, I have liberty, but you're being convicted by God if you do it. That's what it means. Make sure that God has given you the understanding. Do you have faith? Have it before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. In other words, choose wisely. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If you have faith in an area, have it with Jesus. And you don't have to do it around people to prove how right they are. I remember there was this person that their father was a minister, preached on no movies and no alcohol, and yet they would load up the car, go to the next town over, and he would get something to drink, and they would watch movies at the theater. That's sin. Because if you have faith and you're saying you shouldn't be doing this in the eyes of God, and you're doing it, then it's sin. So if you have a check in your heart not to do it, that's condemning yourself, and you're opening yourself up to the attacks of the enemy, and really you're opening yourself up for depression, because the enemy can bring oppression onto us. Well, what do I mean I'm opening up to Satan? Satan can't come in me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, the Holy Spirit. It means that you have just given him opportunity to beat you up, because you've let your guard down. You're not covered by the Spirit because you're living in the flesh, and Satan's going to jump all over that. And if you don't know what's going on, you can end up all depressed thinking, I thought I was a Christian and all these things are happening to me. What's going on? Spiritual warfare is going on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. There's spiritual battles going on every single day over our lives. And it's our choice to put up our shield of faith and quench those fiery darts. And you can't blame anybody else. you have to put that shield up yourself and stand strong and be around people who can stand strong. And so Paul goes on and he adds in the last two verses, 22 and 23, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. I wanted to read that to you again so you saw that. If you have faith in an area, make sure it's God. If you have a check in your heart, make sure that you're not going to do that because you don't want to open it up. Now, verse 23, it says this, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Paul is actually telling us that if we are going to do something that the liberty has given us permission to do, then we need to make sure that we have that permission from God. That it's not you that want it, but it's God that's saying it's okay for you to do it. Because whatever we do without God's permission and faith, it's sin. Why? Because you could be stumbling somebody. So examine the liberties that you have with Christ, and you're going to be fine. Know what God wants you to do, and just be a doer of it. Now, in conclusion, David says, that's your guy's message. Well, you know me, it's still more 10 more minutes. David said in Psalms 133, 1 through 3, oh, how good it is when brothers dwell in unity. You know where that comes from? It comes from thinking of others first. Augustine said this, and he sums it all up. In essentials, that's salvation, there must be unity. In non-essential, there must be room for liberty, but in all things, there must be love. Take a picture of that, folks. Take a picture and read that again. In essentials, there must be unity. In non-essentials, there must be room for liberty, but in all things, there must be love. Let's not ever let anything divide this amazing family that we have here at Calvary Chapel over non-essentials. But if someone stumbled you, you can go to them and say, I just want you to know that this happened. So pray for me, because it's a non-essential, but I'm dealing with it. So just pray for me. Let's always stand in unity on essentials. Let's always think of others, the liberty with diversity on only non-essentials, and judge ourselves and not judging other people. But always stay centered in Christ's love, so that we can love them like Christ loved them and died for them, and that we can die to ourselves over those things that might cause someone to stumble. If you're doing this, you're going to be a righteous person, and you're going to be pleasing the Lord, and you're going to just be an amazing, happy, blessed Christian. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity that we had, that you would just be a blessing to us. If there's anyone here that has never come to the saving knowledge, I pray that they would pray this prayer, simple and simple. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. You died on the cross to pay the price. Thank you for dying for my sins. I accept you as Savior, but I want you to be my Lord to guide and direct me. Give me those check marks where I need them to hold me back, and those encouragements to move me forward in the areas that you desire for us to be, for me to be. And Father, for all of us, may we not be judging others because of the liberty we have, but may we be sensitive not to do the things that would cause people to stumble. I know that drinking in front of little guys is not something good. I'd rather see our kids see their parents filled with the Holy Spirit than the spirit of alcohol. And so, Lord, help us in those areas as well. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the things you have done in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.